welcome everyone to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your guys' host, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. Today, we have a wonderful guest on the show, indie comic writer from Arizona himself, Clifton King. That's right, folks. Clifton is on the show. He's writing Abigail, a series we kind of talk about today as well on the show. So I won't spoil anything too much about that. Clifton is a fellow indie comics writer here. He does his own work. He's done it through Kickstarter, Indiegogo, all that sort of stuff on here. And we talk about really good motivational, inspirational stuff to artists out there. Moreover, though, if you are a writer, you're really going to enjoy this episode, I think. Because we really talk about, you know, the troubles of being a writer, the inspiration, the motivation, and the good and positive from it, too. So hopefully you guys enjoy this episode. It's packed full of motivational stuff, you know, mental health stuff, all sorts of things for you guys. So hopefully you enjoy the episode. But before we let you go to it, make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes or now it's Apple Podcasts. My bad. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or comicchronicle.podbean.com. Subscribe there for new episodes every Monday. And also, we still have merch. If you guys want your 1.5-inch buttons featuring our Podcast of Steel logo, you guys can go ahead and email me at filmworld97@gmail.com. That's filmworld97@gmail.com. Because you guys can have yours free shipping, but $2 fee. Email me on there, guys, for payment info and all that other jazz. Thank you for tuning in. And if you want to follow for more on the show, at Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram or at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter. For more information, stay in touch with the show. Thanks everyone for tuning in. And now without further ado, here is my talk with Clifton. We are recording. Man, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Of course. I know we technically live in the same state, but right now our schedules are way too fucking hectic to be able to like sit down with each other right now, which will happen one day. We'll get you to sit down on the show one day. But man, Clifton, holy hell, we took such a long time to get you onto the show. It's astounding. It's incredibly astounding right now. But hey, we finally got you on. You wanted your partner in crime. We couldn't get him on, but hey, it's okay. It's always next time.
Yeah, and he was like, man, he's like, they tacked on more work for me. So he's like, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. And then like 1:27, he texts me and he's like, yeah, I'm not going to make it. But if there's any questions, just shoot me a text. And I was like, all right.
This is in the text. Like, oh, hold on. I got to send a text out. Dead air. Oh, I got the text back. No. That sounds like a really entertaining show, man. Holy hell. So I got to say is I love bringing indie people onto the show, because I myself am a fellow indie writer, so for comics and published and whatnot too, and so are you. Like, you guys, let's just say listeners at home, studio, wherever you may be listening to, it's incredibly difficult to be here in Arizona to work in comics. Like, holy shit, I've known only like you and I think one, two other people that have actually made it work around here.
Yeah, it is incredibly hard, man. Like, yeah. There is so much work involved, and there's just so many other talented people here in Arizona as well that you gotta, you know, make sure that you're sticking out just as much as they are.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's the same with film. Like, I'm not even gonna kid you. It's the same damn thing with film. Like, you got all these people, and everyone's just trying to be like, hey, let's do this thing, let's do this thing. Oh, it's nuts. It's nuts. But you know what? I look upon it. I look upon everyone. It's sitting around, you know, we're all enjoying ourselves. Because you know what, though, man? We get to do what we love. Like, even though we may not get paid a lot of money for it right now, we still get to do what we love. And, you know, there's something really special about that, I think.
Yeah, it definitely feels so cool to be able to be like, yeah, dude, I write comics. And then see other people's face be like, well, wait, what? I'm like, yeah. You know, I write my own comic books.
Yeah.
And I push them, and people like them, they read them, and I go places, and they're like, wow, cool.
Yeah, it's, well, how often do you hear, oh, I'm the grocery clerk over here, or, oh, I'm this over here, and not to anybody who is that. I was that for a long time. I still work at a zoo. It's fine. But, like, to be able, like, it's different. Like, it's one of those, and I tell people I work in filmmaking and comics, people look at me, and they're like, well, you're at your day job right now. How the hell are you awake? Coffee, my friends. But besides that, the stress keeps you awake. That's what keeps you going. It's caffeine,
yeah,
and stress.
My advice is energy drinks. I gotta have those.
Holy shit, how are you alive? How do you do that? Like, there's just no, I don't understand. It throws me for a loop. You guys, you and a couple other people I know in the arts business who are like, oh, I survive off energy drinks. Like, I get it. Coffee is technically that. But holy shit, like, okay, what brand is, we're not sponsored by whatever brand he's doing right now. What brand is it right now?
I drink the regular Rockstar, man.
Shit. Rockstar will be sponsored by you. I won't drink it, but we'll sponsor it. Well, like,
I should probably get a sponsorship by them. Be like, hey, man.
Make a cameo in one of your books, and that's how you fucking do it.
I'll drop a can in one of my comic books.
It's a 50, oh God, a 50-50 shot. You get sued up the ass, or they're like, freak shit for you. That's what I've learned. It's a, or the third option, they're going to ignore it. Like, we changed 20% in one of my books recently in Super PD. We had a, it's based in Chicago. You know, one of the guys is a hockey, Blackhawks hockey, well, quote unquote hockey, but you know what team he's playing on. And like, the, we changed 25% of the logo on the Blackhawks, and no one said anything about it. So it's like, all right, we're in the clear. We're not sued up the fucking ass. And if NHL, if you listen right now, we changed 25%. You can't sue us. Thank you. But. But, like, you know, you got to cover your ass on that sort of thing. Like, I don't know how. I mean, we sit down and we look upon it, dude. As creatives here in Arizona, we do face a lot of work here. But I think that drive and people who I talk to in Arizona, or not Arizona, in California, in Vancouver, in London, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, that drive that we have is the thing that keeps us going. You know, like, that's the thing that keeps us going day to day. We can take as much rock stars as we want till we collapse. By myself, I'd probably fucking die. But besides the point. You know, like, am I wrong on that sense? Like, I think that that drive to maybe keep one, and maybe, I don't, do you do this full-time, though?
I don't do it full-time.
Exactly,
I,
yeah.
I also grocery clerk, like you were saying, like, you know, some of us got to do that grind, too.
Exactly, so, but that drive, that thing that's stooky, like, you go and you, you clock in, you get the fuck out, or whatever time period, you go in, and you keep going back to work, and I, and it's, a lot of people look down upon it these days, because a lot of people just want to sit down on the couch, fuck them. You know, I don't blame him. There's a lot of good shows on. But
right.
Is that drive? Do you agree? This is the long Kevin Smith spiel version of. Is that drive, that passion, is that like a really good energy source for you to get your work done?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's such a big drive. Like, even when I'm at work, like, if it's like a, you know, boring moment where I'm just feel like I'm staring in space, I start daydreaming about these universes that I've created in my brain and start, you know, creating more things than that drive is there to get home and put it down into the computer.
It's true. Oh my God. I often have a notebook, a spiral notebook with me at all times when I'm going to work or, excuse me, wherever, podcast professionalism here. But like, where, like, oh my God, you, the ideas, because if you forget that notebook and you're like, oh, I got a really cool idea for something, and then you, like, you forget about it, oh, I'll remember it. You never remember it. It's
no, never.
No. You're so screwed. Oh my God. This is the thing though. It's like, a lot of people think you can just start into it, but like, start into comics. Like, oh, he wrote a script and turned it into DC. Now it works for them. Yeah, bull fucking shit. It's just, there's no way that works. Like, you and I are doing the grind. I mean, I work for a company, SGGS Comics. Shout out to you guys. You know, but we work hard to maybe get noticed almost in the sense, but almost in the sense we do it because it's what we love. Man, fans keep me going, all this sort of jazz. But what really got you, I'm curious on your side of things here, what got you started into being in comics? Like, what the hell was that thing that was like, okay, I want to create in the form of comics? Like, what, and especially in Arizona, like, what was that?
Well, you know, I was always writing stories forever. And Abigail, I've had this story, and I've written it so many different ways. And then I was like, you know what? I think the best medium that I could use is comics, because I can see it visually, so I might as well let other people see it visually. Hmm. And then I see, you know, Lady Death, Brian Pleto, Lady Death, nailing out those Kickstarters, and I see, you know, Blood and Dust, Glenny Family Values coming out, and I'm like, oh wow, these guys are awesome, and talking to them about how much they love it and how they just started from, you know, just like me, just hanging out.
Yeah.
I can do it too. Let's do this.
Yeah. That's some right there. Those name drops. Holy shit. That's some good people, because they do. They get that stuff done, man. Like, it's really insane to me when you look around, like the few people who are pretty successful around here with it. They are some pretty good motivation for you. So that really was the thing where you're like, let's do this. Let's get started. Like, you're like, I want to be able to create. So you went and, I mean, Abigail is such a cool story. When we met, oh, yeah, no problem. Like, when we met at Drawing the Comic, shout out to you guys. And like when we met, like, oh, Ken was like, here, come in and just come look at this guy. And I'm like, yeah. And we talked to one. I was like, oh, I literally have your print up right now of and I'm drawing a blank on the name now, but the two soldiers. I have the print of them hanging up my workshop currently at the moment.
The Armored Angels, yeah.
Armored Angels, man. I was like, that's metal as shit right there. That's awesome. I read Abigail, and I was just blown away. I'm like, this is really cool. This is really cool aesthetic. This is a really cool story. Like, holy hell. Like, and I thank God for Ken for introducing us because, you know, where would we be without it right now? But Abigail, man, where the hell did you come up with that?
You know, I was actually rolling pizza dough at Barrow's.
God damn it.
And,
this is the most random of I've ever heard.
Such a boring-ass job. So sitting there rolling dough, I just, you know, I started creating this universe in my mind of how, you know, the government discovers immortal life. And then I was like, you know, I should probably cross the line a little more and put a little bit of religion in there and how they use it as a tool. And, oh, yeah, I definitely want to cross some more lines. And then it just started, like, developing into this craziness of what it is now. And that's, like, it just started spiraling. It was crazy. And every time, like we were talking earlier, it's just sitting there daydreaming, and it's constantly just creating more things in your brain. And even when you're sitting there typing, it just starts popping up more stuff. And it just, this whole universe just came to life, and it was awesome.
Dude, I've done the show 3 years now. I've never heard a story like that, but it's usually like, excuse me, that's what happens when you drink a little bit of pop. But it's usually the stories of, oh, you know, I was out and about, I was with family, or it's like, oh, I know, I just sat down and I thought about it a little bit in my workshop. But you're like, no, man, I was in my boring ass fucking job. Fuck you. It's like, I was a fucking borrow the rolling dough. And I'm like, you know, like big thing that launched my career a little bit here? Yeah, I fucking did that there. It's like, what? The most honest.
It did come out of boredom, I guess. It was just creating while you're bored.
It's the most fucking honest answer I've ever had when I ask people. Like, because I get curious on where ideas come from. But, you know, that's a prime example of, holy crap, ideas can come from any moment, dude. You could be walking down the road listening to music, and you're like, boom, right there. That's an idea. Let's do this. Like,
right.
Oh, I can make this a $1 billion movie. We're going to pitch it to Netflix. We're going to make a whole diamond series. Like, oh, my God. And if it never gets to Netflix that right away, folks, let me tell you. But
I wouldn't even know where to start how to pitch it to Netflix. But, like, it was funny that you're saying that because me and CJ were talking about it yesterday. We're like, fuck yeah, this next book that we're doing right now that we're going to release is going to be a Netflix series.
Dude, okay. In the network plan of things here, I know they're trying to, the company I work for, they're trying to pitch a couple of my books to Netflix. I should never have said that on the air, but it's fine. No ticksie backsies. So, like, I'm kind of scared and nervous. I'm a guy who works in film. I've done plenty of film shit, you know, behind the scenes, in front of the camera, all sorts of stuff on there. I am being the nervous I've ever fucking been, even at an audition, to go be like, hey, here's my book. Make it into something. Here's your next Umbrella Academy. Here is your next, like, I don't even fucking know. Like, what are you in this name? Anything anymore. Your next CW show. Your next whatever the hell it is. Like, I don't know. That's a level of stress there. But I think automatically, though, people think it's like, oh, we made a comic. It's going to be turned into something. Automatic. It's going to be a movie or TV show. No.
No, it is.
No.
It is so hard.
Yeah. Well, that. Yeah. Fuck yes, like, it is.
And like you said, like, there's so many titles, you couldn't even name them quick enough because Netflix is popping them out like they're candy.
It's true.
So, how are you going to compete with that? You got to think of ways to compete with that kind of thing that's going on. It's crazy.
I don't know how. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I'm really looking at my books and I'm like, holy shit, how are we going to pitch this to a studio anytime soon? Like, is this good enough? Like, I'm wondering, like, okay, giant monsters in the Vietnam War. Could we make this work? Is this budgetable? Like, profitable? I don't know. I hope. I say, in my eyes, it is. Like, but that's like saying, like, oh, well, you know, your kid is, oh, what is it? The disillusioned parent. The parent who's like, oh, my kid's always perfect and best and whatnot. And you're like, meanwhile, the kid's
my
like
kid
Adolf.
No wrong.
Yeah. Thanks. Oh, yeah. Look at old Adolf right there going to art school. Woo. He's such a good kid. He'll do no harm no matter what. Oh, well, about that. Yeah. Do you like, I look upon it. Well, there's also a series that, you know, belong only in comics. And I think I got one or two of those. And I'm fine with that. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, is Abigail going, like, Abigail, would you want to see it in the show?
Oh, I would.
You think it'd work?
It would blow my mind to see it as a show. But, like, I think I would. Like, when I see on the silver screen, the big silver screen. That's where I see Abigail. But like you said, it's like, you know, I'm looking down on my child. I'm like, you're going to go big.
Yes. You're going to go big. You're going to do it. Meanwhile, like, there's a guy in, like, a suit behind you, just this crossed arms, shaking the head, looking at the child like, nope. Nope. Sorry. Not today. Well, I mean, we have books out there, one of which I'm catching up on right now, a Saga. Is that ever going to be a TV show or movie? Do you know of that series?
Yes, and they better make that a TV show.
Yeah, but Brian, the creator of Saga himself, came out and said, I don't want this. I purposely make this raunchy as hell to make sure it's not going to be a TV show because it's good as a comic and everyone loves the comic. Like, I get that. But yeah. Come on. You know, just a little bit.
It would be so cool to see it in another visual medium.
It's true. It really would be. Here's the thing, though. What network is going to agree to that show? That is the... What producer's going to see a half spider lady with her tits flying out and they're like, they're going to be like, or a giant ass kaiju troll with his balls hanging down, or like, yeah, that little girl over there, she was raped. It's like, oh no. Like, oh shit, she comes from a sex planet. Like, what? Hey, look, there's the will and there's a war thing going on, and the mom's going to watch her son get a blowjob from his wife in a fucking lighthouse tower. Like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like all the, you know, the editors that are, you know, HBO or Netflix are like, okay, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. We did Game of Thrones, but damn. Oh, no. Hey, folks, Dakota here with a little bit of an ad break for you guys today. Do you guys like reading comics? Obviously, if you listen to the show, you do. What the fuck am I talking about? Then you guys, if you're in Arizona, which a good majority of the fan base is, shout out to the ones in Canada though, you guys can go to Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, located at 5801 West Glendale Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. I gotta say, folks, I've been going here for a long time now. I've been to a few different comic book stores in Arizona in my 6 years of living here so far, and this may change due to the recording nature, but whatever. So I love going to Drawn to Comics. I really do. Ken, who runs it, is an amazing fucking laid-back dude. He's a wonderful guy. He's been on the show, ladies and gentlemen, before. And it's a really fun place to pick up the book. So Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona. Get yourself a box, you know. Go in, maybe just check it out. It's a fun place to escape into. His work, all the workers there are fucking wonderful folks. They really are. It's just like family at this point, at least they're for me. And it's a fun world to go into. There's collectibles there. There's toys. There's comics. You know, and you just get your box and reserve some books and whatnot. We've had people on the show who've written and drawn comics, you know. Go in and pick up their work, folks. Jesus Christ. It ain't that difficult. So go to Drawn the Comics in Glendale, Arizona, folks. You guys can check them out also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks, everyone. Now back to the show. Oh, God, that'd be amazing as hell. That really would. I you know, I'd almost kill for that type of show, but... You know, not all comics are really meant for the big screen. Umbrella Academy is one I was looking at, like, Jesus Christ, I'm in the show, but it turned out really, really good, so I guess there's that. Oh, God. But...
Yeah, surprisingly, it turned out really good.
Oh, yeah, I fucking love season two soon, yes. But, you know, like, that's the thing, though. I think, as writers ourselves, you know, I don't tend to have too many writers on the show. I have a lot of artists come on the show, but, and a little bit of actors, too. But, you know, as writers ourselves, man, like, what do you think is a writer's good drive? Like, I'm curious, writer to writer right now, and whatever listeners, whoever may be listening right now, like, what is a good drive for writers? Like, what is your drive?
Like an inspiration kind of thing?
Yeah, because, you know, I've always, I was talking about someone recently, they said, oh, you know, writers always got that drive. Like, there's a writer's drive, and it's always something special to them. And, you know, if you want to talk about it, you can, but if not, it's all right. Like, oh, what's your writer's drive? Well, I have someone in bed naked at me at home, but it's, well, you never know. That's my good drive to get the paperwork done. Like, fair enough.
Right.
But, like, what is your kind of writer's drive, do you think?
Mine is just reading other creators' stuff. Like, when Simple. I read what they create, I'm like, damn. I was like, I want to do this. Like, and it keeps me going. I'm like, I can do this, and maybe I could do better than that, actually. Some of these creators, I'm like, I could probably do better than that. And then other times I'm like, damn, I want to be as good as them. So, like, that's my where my drive comes from, is reading other people's work and trying to keep up with, you know, how things are changing with their writing and what they're learning. And I just, that's my where it comes from, definitely.
So draw on inspiration from others, sort of thing, huh?
Yes.
Okay, I think that's a good thing to do. The problem is there's one word that really fucks you up, though, when you do that all the time. And I think you know what it is.
Say it.
Jealousy. It's like, God damn it. Like, trust me, I feel it hardcore, dude. I feel it hardcore.
There is some jealousy that happens. I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm still the small fry in the game, and these guys are making like 20K. I'm like, how the hell?
You know what threw me for a loop? And I love the man to death. I heard he's such a nice guy. I would love to have him on the show. Jim Lee. Like, he drives a Lamborghini right now, and I'm like, that's the comic book creator you want to be.
Damn,
like,
yeah.
Holy shit. But you know what? Not just because he's got a Lamborghini or Lambo, if he still has it, I don't know. But the fact is, he does so much crazy shit. Like, Jeff Johns is my big writer inspiration for when it comes to comics. Like, hands fucking down. Big inspiration when it comes to, and I got a bunch of others too, but I think Jeff Johns is really up there. You know, because when I started reading comics, he was head of DC. And I was full-time into DC. When I went full-time into DC and Marvel Comics, that was him in charge. He was running. He was writing so many book series, you know, and I took a lot from that. But, you know, like, what big writers do you think you have? Like, what are some big-name writers you think people should follow? That help inspire you, though. That help inspire you, too. Not get you jealous.
It's funny because, like, even though I'm writing, you know, a comic book, my biggest inspirations come from, you know, people that write novels. And
what?
It's like Patrick Rothfuss. Like, I he's amazing. Of course, like Stephen King and his son Joe Hill. Like,
yeah.
Those guys, they blow me away with their writing.
Hold on. Joe Hill is doing comics now, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he is actually doing comics. I mean, Lock and Key, he even won awards for.
Oh, my God. You know, like, it's just like, it's not enough you're Spielberg's fucking son, right?
King's son.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like, and it's crazy, like, he didn't even want people to know that he was Stephen King's son. That's why he used his middle name as his last name.
I mean, it's smart. I was thinking he was Spielberg for some odd reason. Yeah, like, that's smart, though. Like, Stephen King... Would you take that claim? Would you take that claim, say, if your name was, you were the son of, like, Stephen King or Stan Lee or anything like that, would you take that name if you were going to be a writer like you are now? Like, or would you, like, be like, you do the Joe Hill?
Oh, man,
I'm curious.
It would be hard to put myself in those shoes. Like, of course I'd want to take the crown, but at the same time, like, the pride would probably come in where I'd want to be, like, separated and, like, I want people to know me for me and not for my dad.
Hold up. You're not taking the fucking crown. Stephen King will probably look at you dead so you can say, son, you'll never take my crown.
You can't take the fucking crown.
Or hold on. I'm picturing even better. Look you straight clean in the eyes in a fucking chair in the middle of a library with a fire, and he's like, so I heard you getting in the writing. You got some books going on. Sips a damn coffee cup, and then just sets it down on like a nightstand. Oh, you think you're gonna take my crown? Good luck. This is all I'm imagining he's saying. But when I heard how the man is, that's all. Good luck. You ain't thinking shit. Oh my God. Let's imagine what I think.
Definitely more like it.
But so you don't think? So you think no, because it's like taking the shoes and whatnot from it?
Yeah, I think it would be like a more of like a pride kind of thing. Like, I want people to know me for me. I want people to judge my writing for someone they don't know yet.
Okay.
If they think I'm someone's famous son, they're going to be like, even though if it comes out like complete shit, they're going to be like, this is awesome. Thumbs up.
Well, you're not wrong, but... I mean, well, yeah, but it's also... I think a lot of people shy away from doing that because... That's why I give a lot of credit to Joe Hill, because a lot of people will look upon it like, oh, who is this guy? It's fucking nobody. And then when they find out, they're like, oh, wait a minute. because it's such a more of a challenge. Because as indie writers, as you know, and the listeners may not know, I mean, if you don't know and you're listening to the show, I don't know what you're doing with your life. But indie writers, you know, we have a tough time. Like, we really do. Like, indie writers ourselves, we don't really have the easiest of lives when we're coming up and we're doing it ourselves. Like, if you're born into it, I think it makes life so much easier. That's why I think I would probably maybe take the name after a little bit. Like, I would start on my own and then maybe take it after. It'd be like, surprise! And then that whole big thing. Yeah, bitch! If like, maybe it's a fallback plan, your sales are bad. Well, I'm his son! And it's like, oh, shit! And it, you know, this explosion happens. And then they're like, oh, his work's actually really good. I'm like, yeah, yeah, idiots. But I think that factor of it is pretty important. It's always to realize that up-and-coming writers always have a difficult time, especially in film. I will find out it's a little bit more easier. But when it comes to comics, holy hell, dude. Like, it blows me away every time.
Yeah, the industry is tough.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, even when if you're trying to, like, get into the network of other creators and, like, make some friends, like, some of them are just so standoff about it. They're like, no, you're still a baby. How about you come talk later?
Yeah. It's true. It's true. Oh, my God, it's true. Like, there was recently, I said to someone in the industry, and I said, oh, yeah, yeah. And they really got their attention, like, was a snap, and they were like, oh, wait a minute. When I told them, hey, you know, we're probably going to have one of my books published by Diamond. Actually, we will have one of my books published by Diamond by the end of the year, and I told him which one, and he was like, holy shit. Like, really? Like, yeah. And, like, it was instantly like, okay, now the head's turning. Like, but it hadn't happened for a while, so I still got, like, a few more months before then. But it is. But, I mean, that's the thing I think it keeps us going, though. Is there a chance that maybe it may not go anywhere? Yeah. But did you at least do... Are you going to be, like, head of DC one day? No. Did you at least do it, though? Yeah. And that's what I think matters, and I think a lot of people tend to forget, is, especially as writers, you know, like, we can create all we want, in a sense, in our head. But when we actually put it down to pen to paper, is because that's the biggest problem, is that writers don't actually write. Have you ever heard of that saying? Yeah, I think because we've been on that end a little bit. We're like, oh my god, I have this such cool idea. It's in my notebook right here. I'll get to it tomorrow. Like, you're like, oh shit. Oh god. And you sit there and you're like, oh fuck. Oh no. Like, this ain't good. Like, yeah, you know. Like, and I think every writer listening right now is like, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
You just get in those moments sometimes. You're just like, yeah.
See, artists, it's right there. Like, we can close our laptop and shit, but artists, if you're drawing, like, you go past your bench or wherever as you're working on, like, oh, there's that art piece. Right? Oh, is, I look at there looking at it. I'm going to go, a writer is going to, like, and close the notebook and zero guilty pleasure. And we're fine. Like, it leaves me for lots of words, I think, a little bit there, because that's the biggest advice I can give to people. Well, the two biggest advice I can give to people, and if I'm wrong, tell me, man, like, and I want to hear what your advice is to writers, but mine is get up and actually go and write. Like, if you want to write, write. And this is anybody in film, anybody in comics, write on a novel, whatever it is. If you're going to write, actually get up and write. And two is, folks at home, if you guys want to create something, no matter what business you're in, you want to create, well, guess what? You create. Do you going to get the $1 billion you think you want to get, or the $1 billion that people think you should get? No, you're not going to get it all the time. And if you don't get it, sit down, realize, oh, crack open that can of Rockstar, if you're Clifton, and sit down and be like, take a sip. Be, you know what? I actually did this thing. I actually did it. Because you could be like, oh, I couldn't, I wasn't going to make a lot of money, so I didn't do it. Like, you still did it. You still turned a lot of bit of heads. You still created. What about you, though, man? Like, top that shit. Go right ahead.
You pretty much nailed it on the head. I mean,
did
like, I that's the advice that I give writers too. I'm like, you know, when you sit, you got to sit down and write and don't edit. That's my biggest thing, as I tell people. I'm like,
what?
If you start editing while you're writing, you're never ever gonna fucking finish. I'm like, you need to just keep going. It's gonna be complete shit when you finish. It's gonna look like garbage, but that's when you go back and start fixing what you want to fix.
Oh god, yeah, like, I'm with you 100. I don't even do spell check until the end. I gotta see. You look at it when you look at the first thing before I do the editing, it's just a whole lot of reds and blues, and it's like, oh shit, oh no, this looks bad. Oh, quickly edit. Yeah, I like that though. I like that. I never hear that, but that sound fucking advice right there, you know, like that's It makes sense. I mean, I just automatically did it, but you know, actually hearing someone mention it, like, yeah, shit, it's true. Because you're right. You'll be focused on the editing more than the work itself. Huh.
I've seen so many people just get stuck in that. Like, they write, like, you know, their 4 or 5 pages, and they go back and start looking at it again. I'm like, no. Don't do that.
Yeah, like, hold on here. You got 15 more pages to go. Just go through, power through, and then edit it and feel bad you can't type any words right.
Yeah, like, your first read-through, you're going to be like, what the fuck did I just write?
Yeah. Is this English? Well, looks Russian. Let's quickly spell check that. Oh, God. I look at that and I'm like, is that a fucking word? What was I trying to say? Like, oh, yes. It's like, wait a minute. Hey, folks, Dakota here. And do you guys like Dungeons & Dragons as much as I do? Because if so, you're going to like Adventures in Green and Garb. You know, they're a really fun new group on YouTube, their whole D&D campaign group. But let me tell you what they're all about. Adventures in Green and Garb started, as most D&D campaigns do, around their parents' dinner table. Last year, they decided to bring it to YouTube, though, with the addition of costumes and green screens. Come on, that's adds some really cool flavor right there. Still in the family, their Season 1 campaign is nearing its exciting conclusion, with many mysteries yet to be revealed. They hope you enjoy it as much as they love making it and playing, doing so much with D&D. So smash that like button, subscribe, and share, and look for them at this year's Gen Con. So I'm extremely excited to have these guys a part of the Comic Chronicle and Film World podcast, you know, to partner up and all that such, because they're truly wonderful people, and you guys should go subscribe and support them and give them a like. They're really, really fun. And because we've been playing throughout the commercial, I'm going to play you guys the theme that they have. The first time you're listening to this, you're going to want to go subscribe. And then we'll get right back to the podcast. Thanks, everyone.
Let us roll you a tale where heroes prevail as we wander the blight, prepared for the fight. On the edge of the world, claiming almighty glory, in spite of the cost, love and loss frame our story. We won't turn back now, bloodied by dragons made gory. We roll this tale for you, roll for you.
Banded by fate,
oblivion beware, watch as great fires whirl, lightning cracking the air, olden powers unleashed,
together taming the beast.
We roll this tale for you, roll for you.
Come, then chat along, ye doubting hearts, stoned and strong, be not afraid, douse your doubts and join the
moving on, don't quit, Green and Garb won forfeit. Don't look back, stay alive, smite them, survive. Keep moving on, don't quit, Green and Garb won forfeit. Don't look back, stay alive, smite them, survive.
Steadfast and true,
we surrender our lives to defend all the realm till that good day arrives, when we lay down our swords,
bodies scarred and bruised,
having rolled a tale for you.
Roll for
the edge of the world, claiming almighty glory, in spite of the cost, love and loss frame our story. We won't turn back now, bloodied by dragons made gory. We roll this tale for you, roll for you.
Oh God. Now, like, I'm curious though, man. What other projects are you looking at doing? Like, what are some goals in 2020? And we're already in February, but fuck it. What is some, like, good goals, if you're already starting them, like, you wanted to do for February for your guys' brand? Because you got Sacred Chaos Comics, you know, and the people can check it out on Instagram. Follow them. I recommend it. But, so you have that. But what do you want to do with it? Like, what is this year that people can look forward to?
This year... this month, actually, we're going to be launching a new title, and it's going to be, it was the title was Fuck This. What? But then I was talking to my friend, and we're like, you know, it's taking away from what we really want to, from what we're writing about. We're making I was making it too edgy with that name. So we talked about it, and we just went to, like, the classic, you know, just title with the name of the character. So it's, like, John/Soren. And this is what I'm so pumped about is bringing this out. I'm super excited about this. It's a psychological horror.
Ooh.
And, yeah, it's going to delve into mental illness and, you know, like that feeling that you get, you know that our day jobs that a lot of us still have that haven't gone full-time into comics yet or creating, where, you know, you just eat that shit sandwich and with a smile, you know, but deep down inside, you're drowning that person in a bucket.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've all had those moments.
Oh, yeah. That was this past week. Holy shit. Like, But that's cool, though. That's a cool concept. And that's this month, you said?
Yeah, that's this month. It's going to be, I'm going to be launching that right after the Indiegogo that's going on right now as well. For Abigail, I relaunched Abigail number one with 16 different variant covers, actually.
Jesus Christ, you DC maniac.
Yeah, it was like a really big release. I was like, I did book to Kickstarter, and like I set my goals a little too high, so I was like talking with Shelby Robertson, who's doing interiors, who's also worked on Deadpool and a bunch of other cool projects. I was talking with him, and he was like, you know, how about we just go back, and he's like, are you okay with Indiegogo? And he's like, you should start from fresh, get some new fan base, and we'll move on from there. And I was like, all right, let's do this. So that was another goal this year, was relaunching Abigail 1, getting this new title out, and then getting Abigail Book 2 out with Shelby Robertson working with me. And yeah, it's going to be a fulfilled year of bouncing back and forth between those two books.
Dude, I love it. Like, that's some hustling right there. That is immediately some hustling. And I fucking love it. So I'm also excited for that new book. But also, I'm excited to see more of Abigail because I read the first issue because I bought the first issue. And I want more. Like, holy shit. I was in there like, wait, is there more of this? And I'm like, right now. Like, sir, you can't give me this blue ball tease here. Like, come on. Or, you know what? My bad. Blue wing tease. I'll give you that one.
Oh, there we go.
You can pay me for that quote later. Put it on issue one. I waiting for issue two was like a blue wing tease. The most stone fucking quote of all time. God. But it's true. Like, I read it and I loved Abigail. I'm excited to see the new series because that one's going to hit close to the heart. But, you know, like, how do you have the time? It throws me for a loop when I hear shit like this. And this must be how other people are when I tell them about my schedule. It's like, how the hell do you have time to do all this right now?
I don't even know. Like, my buddy Dimitri was even asking me that. He's like, where do you find the time to run your website, run social media, write, take care of your kids, and go to work, and spend time with your wife? And I'm like, I don't even know. I was like, you just reminded me of how tired I am.
Yeah, that's it. That's immediately it. Like, you are in this funk, right? Where if you write it down or acknowledge the planning that you do to make sure that automatically, it's like an automatic balance and check system. You're like, okay, I got this, got this, got this. But as soon as someone's like, hey, what are you doing? Like, oh, shit, you ruined it. Like, you just, like, you scare the poo. Like, you scare that guy who's got a deck of cards and he's building a tower of cards. And as soon as you're like, hey, how's it going? And you're like, well, what's your schedule like? Or how are you able to balance it? And you're like, oh, wait, I'm balancing? Boom, just fucking collapses. That's what I felt. I felt that a lot recently. It's like, how are you doing all this? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And they're like, well, are you doing this? Oh, yeah. What time are you doing it? Wait a minute. Oh, shit. Stress, anxiety. Oh, no. Oh, man. But, I mean, I guess that's what we, as creators, as indie creators, is what we like. It's what we do. I think as creators in general, it's something we do. But this episode goes up the Monday coming up as of this recording. So it will the new... stuff be uploaded by then that they can go check out or no?
Let's see.
Because that is...
No, I think it's in... No, we still got a couple weeks.
A couple weeks? Okay, because this episode comes out the 17th.
So, let's see.
I didn't want to be sure. Countdown. This is behind the scenes, folks, of planning. A hell of a thing, planning. But yeah, this is the thing is, I like bringing people on who are doing these funds, these like crowd funds and stuff like that too, because they've always been helpful. And the fans out there, immediately while he's looking that up, excuse me, is I want to definitely say is to the people who I brought on beforehand, let me know if you got the date, yes or no, by the way. But this is a special shout out to fans because you guys have helped out so many people on the show that I brought on, that we've talked about their projects, like Mind to Avenge and all that other. Like, thank you all for this. And I want to say thank you guys. And you got one more in you. I know you got one more in you. You can donate $1. They make them holler. Come on now. Come on.
Yeah, so this we got 13 days.
13 days. Okay.
Yeah, and then 13 days I was going to say fuck this again almost, but it's John Soren launching on Kickstarter. Right now we got Indiegogo Abigail number 1 that has 13 days left. You can go grab one of those special covers, or if you're a new fan that's listening to the show, definitely go grab that book. Like you said, $1 can even help out.
It's true. $1 goes a long way, folks. I don't think we've touched upon it, though. Can you give a little synopsis on Abigail, though, like what people can expect of that series? Because we kind of touched upon it, there being angel wings and government and religion, all that sort of stuff. Like, kind of give a synopsis sort of thing for Abigail.
All right, Abigail is it's a post-apocalyptic future, and it takes place where the government has discovered immortal life, and they unleash a virus on the planet because they want to become gods themselves, and the only way to get the cure is to bow before them as the new gods. So then, it takes place of angels. They come down and they choose the chosen children to become angels themselves, ascended as angels to go train. And they get to fight the forces of darkness. And they come from special places too. They're called Eden. They're like the sanctuaries on Earth of where these special children come from. And outside of that, it's just a wasteland of horrible things going on.
Yeah. Holy hell.
My name is Andrew, and I am the host of a show called Rage Hunter. And on Rage Hunter, we cover the latest news and what's trending in the gaming industry with just a hint of some sarcasm and rage. You probably have this hole, this void in your life that you don't know how to fill. Well, Rage Hunter is going to fill it. And the best part is we are everywhere. iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play Store, Spotify, Podbean, Instagram, Twitter. So that way, you can get as much rage in your life as possible. And some news while you're at it. So come check us out and be a part of the greatest gaming podcast in the universe. See you there.
I mean, come on, if you're not sold on that, come on, come on. It's one of those kind of post-apocalyptic stories that could work out. And it's one of those, I love it so much because you combine that government and religion sort of thing and you made it work. You weren't and this is my global messages today and here's propaganda or whatever the hell it may be. But you made it work in a really cool story.
Heck yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, of course. I'm honest, I read the fucking issue and I wish I don't have the issue hanging up. But, so how many issues of Abigail are you trying to go for, man? What are you thinking?
I'm definitely going to go as long as possible. It's
fair.
The universe is massive in my mind, and I've done an outline for really far out.
Yeah.
So I can definitely – I have an outline to go over 100 issues.
Oh, shit.
So, and it could even go further than that.
Damn, okay. You know what, though? I like that because – I think, as a writer, do you like doing that ahead, though, of time, though? You yourself, I like it, but do you like making a big outline, like kind of have that end goal or like sort of an end goal sort of thing. Like you got 100 issues right there. That's a hell of a thing to go for. Do you like doing that? Is that like a standard for you? Or is that like, I just want to tell this one extra long story.
It feels good to have it written down. Like you're saying, like, you know, you get those ideas and if you don't have your spiral notebook, you're going to fucking forget it. So that's pretty much what my outline is, is me not forgetting what I want to write about.
Fair. I mean, fair. But 100 issues, dude, like I maybe have out of my, and I got to be careful on the number I say here because I still can't say a certain number of books that are coming out. My three series right now, out of all those three series, I probably have up to maybe 20 or 15, maybe. Actually, you know what? Maybe 15 issues planned out so far in each series. Maybe. Just planned. But 100, I'm like, holy shit. Just the thought of that just blows me away.
Yeah, it's been so long in development. I had to, like...
I would hope.
I had to, like, build up the balls to... you know, get myself out there.
It's true. But you know what? You made it work, dude. Like, you had a booth at a comic store. You were selling prints. You got issue one out. Like, how did you tend to do that, though? Like, brother, how? Like, I did the show and interviewed the right person and then made a pitch, and that's how I got my books. But how the hell did you, like, be able to do all of the stuff you did? Was it just one of those, like you said, you got the balls and you went up and faced it head on? Or, like, what the hell?
Yeah, it was pretty much just that. Like, my father-in-law actually has he's been collecting comics since he was a little kid, so he knows a lot of people here in the Valley, all the comic book shops and stuff. So that kind of helped me get into the doors and talk to them more. But, like, talking to people and stuff, like, it was definitely building up the courage to just go in there and be like, hey, my name's Clifton King. I write comic books. Would you guys be interested in checking it out?
Yeah. Sounds about right. It sounds about right. I feel that hustling in my heart. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's hard sometimes to, like, even, like, walk through that front door. Like, it's like, how do I come into someone else's business to offer my business?
Exactly. You know what? I'm a natural, kind, family guy sort of dude. And I'm like, sometimes asshole, people will definitely say. But, man, when it comes to business, man, I still get a little bit nervous still. Like, even just the stuff with the show, like sending out an email to have a guest on the show, which may or may not respond. I'm still like, holy crap, my heart. Holy shit. Like,
did I say the right things?
Oh, yeah. And you're like, did I misspell a letter in there? Please, no. Like, oh, shit, in the email. Like oh, dear God.
I'm a shitty writer if I say the wrong thing.
Oh, that's it. You're like, oh, fuck. And it's like, oh, my God, what if they think I'm just stupid and this idea is technically stupid and I made it this far on, like, the biggest of luck? Like, holy shit. Like, what am I going to do? Like, that's always the fear, I think, as creators. We're like, so, like, in our mind, I think most of us think this. And if not most, all of us think this. Secularly, we think we're stupid pieces of shit whose ideas somehow made it this far, where creation made it somehow pretty far, and we got lucky, I think, you know?
Some of it I think is luck, but, like, oh, man, it's, like you said, that grind is there, though.
Oh, yeah, but, like, even if you're doing the grind, like, even if you're doing a grind, like, there's always some sort of thing, like, our biggest critic is ourselves. Like, you know, I desperately think that. Maybe it's not the same for you. Maybe you got that big of a dick syndrome, but I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I beat myself up all the time with my writing.
Oh, okay, all right, fair enough. So we're the average guys here, but fair. So, ladies. Oh, God. Welcome to the Comic Chronicle podcast, where we're just laid back as hell. But, yeah, man, like, I don't know, like, I could go on and on about writing, to say the least here. But we are coming near the end of the show, man. We are coming near the end here, and I don't want to take too much of your time, because I desperately know how it goes. And I think, as of this recording, another issue of one of my books has dropped digitally on social media, because the website is not yet done yet for the company. So, I definitely got to go do that. But... What, like, where can people find you at? Speaking of social media, dude, where can I find you at on social media?
You can find me anywhere. I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter. And we also have our own website now. So it's sacredchaoscomics.com. On social media, it's Sacred Chaos Comics. And just pop those in, and then it'll instantly start popping up. Even if you just do hashtag Abigail, I mean, that'll pop up a bunch of stuff for you.
I would hope. Hopefully not porn. Hopefully not that. Cool, man. Well, that's awesome. I like it. So, folks, definitely go follow. Come on. Follow and support. They got some really cool things coming on. And just even a dollar helps. Remember that.
Yes, Indiegogo right now. Go get your cover. Yes. I mean, there's even a SpongeBob cover on there.
I saw that, god damn it, on social media. I was like, is that real? And I was like, yeah. Like, oh, cause I looked through it. I'm like, all right, really got SpongeBob? Dude, you are basically doing the Dark Knight Returns Part 3, the master race of this thing right now. Like, you're like 16 covers and more to come. Like, and it's not a bad thing. I really like that when they do that shit. I'm a sucker for it. I don't know why. People tend to hate it, but they're like, no, not that many covers. Like, no, I like it. Gives me plenty of options out there. It's like going to a bar, and they're like, here's 5 menus. All right, I like this place already. Give me plenty of options. It's sweet, man. Folks at home, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter or at Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram to stay in touch with all the things with the show, what's going on. Make sure you guys follow Sacred Chaos. Make sure you guys do that. Because really cool, fun things. And if that book series, the description just came in for that new series, come on. Come on. Man, any final words that you want to give to fans out there, whatever, writers or artists or whatever it may be?
One of the biggest things is, you know, no matter how much you feel down about your work, like we were just talking about, you beat yourself up, try to keep pushing forward. You will get through it, and people will notice the hard work that you're putting in. Never stop what you're doing. Never stop creating.
I love it, man. I love it. And mentally, never let yourself – I'll add to it. Mentally, never let yourself keep yourself down. Always keep pushing forward. Like, man, mental health is important. Keep it in check because you can go to the gym all you want, but you got to make sure mentally, you know, kind of enlighten yourself. Take that break, you know. Take a check. Relax. Enjoy. Mental break is important too, and mental health is important too. So thanks everyone for tuning in, and give them a follow. And as always, stay creative, comic fans.